Hey, hey! Anybody in there? Should I knock again?
Yeah, Naki, I don't know. Maybe use a more friendly tone, not when you knock this time. I don't fucking know. Come on.
Like this? Knock, knock. Anybody home? It's the New Jersey Parks Department.
Yeah, that was a real nice knock. You could have been a fucking fairy tale detective with that knock.
Oh, really?
No, what the fuck is wrong with you? What are you, a fucking pizza delivery guy? Give us some more, you know, I don't know, for something in that knock. A little forcefulness, a little fucking chutzpah.
Like this?
Come on.
Anybody home? It's the fucking New Jersey Parks Department here to collect your due payment, you scumbag.
Yeah, that's more like it. I like that. You're definitely going to answer this time.
Any better ideas, genius?
Yeah, you know, we can wait them out. I mean, they have to come home eventually. I don't fucking know.
And if they don't, what then?
You know, we can kick the door and you got a battering ram in the truck or something. I don't know. You got something big we can smack shit with? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, but we don't have a search warrant either. So by the law, you know, we can't go in there without their permission.
A search warrant? What are you, a steni or something? We're not actually in the New Jersey Parks Department. I mean, you realize that,
I
right?
I know. But look, I'm a method actor by heart. I really, you know, I like to get into the character.
You are fucking unbelievable, for Christ's sake. You've got to be the dumbest bastard I know. You
Charlie,
know
when you call me dumb, you know it really affects me emotionally, right? You know, I take these things very personally.
Oh boy, here we fucking
look, all I'm saying is, I have some problems with my memory. I might have a bad memory, but it ain't my fault. My doctor says my mother smoked cigarettes while she was pregnant.
Again,
blame
every
her,
time,
not me.
Fucking memory here. All right, Sal, let me remind you exactly why we're here. The New Jersey Parks Department sent us here to collect a bill. The guys that live in that room... one of them smashed their car into the road, Toad. Now, that's Lou, I mean, not Lou, the New Jersey Parks Department's favorite animal, as you know. So, frankly, I mean, they're heartbroken. And the only way to fix the heartbreak is it's going to be squeezing as much money as we can out of the bastard crackheads that live in this place, you know. Is your memory starting to come back, you stupid cocksucker?
Yeah,
what's wrong
with
you?
It is. That makes sense. But, you know, how long are we going to wait out here? I mean, this could take hours, maybe days.
Sally boy, my friend. My patience is endless, all right? I will sit out here as long as it fucking takes. You know, knock again. Put some serious into it this
time.
All right,
all right. You know, this is the worst idea you've ever had. 2 a.m. in a crack house. I got a really bad feeling about this.
What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know, but I got to take a piss.
All right, so take a piss right here.
Right here. Why? So you could take pot shots? I'm a very self-conscious guy, you know this.
Hey, Pacha, what do you think I'm gonna do? Be sitting here admiring your flow?
I don't know, Brucey. You're a very critical guy. There's never any constructive criticism
from you. Jesus, I feel like
I'm
arguing with my wife. I've had enough. I'm gonna go get the battering ram from the truck.
Whoa, you're gonna leave me here in the crack house all alone?
Look, somebody's gotta watch the door. And you gotta take a piss, so why don't you do that while you're at it?
Yeah, okay. A good plan, I guess.
Might feel trapped between the right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
This is a wreck.
Oh my god, what the hell happened?
Aaron, did you do this?
No, this time I didn't.
You don't seem surprised. You don't seem as surprised as I do, Aaron.
I mean, it's a little bit messier, I guess.
It's pretty
fucking
messy.
I mean, sure, more shit's broken than usual.
Broke in and fucking intentionally ripped up the place.
Jesus. Well, at least we still have the recording equipment.
Oh, that's
true. I
mean,
my god. What the hell was all this? This is a disaster. I'm going to have a word with the landlord.
Yeah, the super.
About this situation. This is not acceptable.
Hmm.
Jesus. The conditions that we've had to work under in the past several months have been...
people don't understand.
I defy them to find podcasters who've had a harder time.
The listeners don't understand. They'll never understand. Nobody
They'll
understands us. They don't understand the creative process.
That's why
they
our
don't.
Listeners need to start smoking crack so they can understand. They can have some empathy for us in our struggle.
Walk a mile in our shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our shoes. That's right. You know what, Carr? I gotta shake off these bad vibes. This is terrible. I feel like I've been violated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been violated. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna shake these bad vibes off. Let's just get into the show. Let's, you know, this is really this is terrible.
I agree.
Oh, they smashed my crack pipe.
Oh,
well,
great.
We got plenty more here. Take, I got another one.
Oh, thank God.
They're luckily in this area of the city. They're, believe it or not in short supply. So that's fine. That's fine there.
I really like that one, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, buddy.
Tough. That's tough. But tell you what, maybe we'll just launch into this show. We'll get back into the recording spirit. We'll get back into
it.
The flow and make a little something for the fellow linear earthlings. How about that?
Please. Yes. Please, let's do
that. Dude, we
could
make a game out of this.
We
can we?
Could.
What do
what
you mean?
What race of people did this to our craft?
All right. Okay, all right. We all know what it is.
Yeah, we do all know.
We already know where that game goes. We already know. All right, guys. Well, we're sitting here January 20th, right before everything's about to go down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We've got a couple items that I'd like to take a spin through. So first off, we got the inauguration today.
Yeah, can I say I'm annoyed that we do a podcast and it seems like every major event that happens on the Wednesday and at times that happen to be directly after we record the podcast.
I was gonna bring that up. Pretty crazy.
It's getting really
it's been happening consistently for like 2 months.
Literally, by the time this episode releases, there could have been somebody had a suicide bomb. I don't know. So
yeah,
this could be bad. You want to take bets? You think
goes
through without a hitch?
I think it's going to go through without a hitch. I don't know. Aaron, what do you think?
I hope it doesn't, but I think it will.
Yeah,
I'm thinking it will too. Well, if you're listening, you know the results. So if there's a fucking, if this half of the army decides to stage a coup today, you know.
It's the inverse of what I've been taught all my life. This time I'm going to expect the best, but hope for the worst.
Yeah, that's where we're at. Man,
what if just all 20,000 National Guardsmen like split up and it was settled by some like kind of like just massive cage match?
Who's in the cage match? Like Biden?
All 20,000 Guardsmen.
All of them, and then the one who, and then whoever wins is the one who becomes
it's
the
just
president.
It. And then it's just whatever his opinion is.
You know, I'd rather we go back to that style of government, frankly.
It wouldn't be bad, right? At least it would be conclusive. At least it would be conclusive. It would have
that's
a story arc. It would have a beginning,
that's
a build,
absolutely right.
And then an end. So
God, this is. I really hope the next 4 years are. I think I was saying this in the gentleman's chat, but I really hope the next 4 years are good and not boring as shit.
Yep. I think.
How many guardsmen they got there? Anybody know
20,000,
the
right? Aaron,
oh, Jesus. 20,000. Jesus Christ!
They got 20,000 guardsmen and zero bullets.
No way! Did they really do that? They actually did that.
Yeah. That's what they say.
No
they took
way.
Away all their magazines and bullets.
Wow. So, at what point do you just? At what point do you just look at? At what point do you just look at that situation and go, "Is it more of a coup if they had the bullets, or is it more of a what is the deal? Like, is it more of a? Is this now just a show of force?
It feels like it's a show of
literally just presence.
It feels like it's a show of force on top of an incompetent Kabuki theater experiment, on top of another show of force, on top of another misdirection campaign that only half of the people know about, on top of more Kabuki theater under an umbrella of total
guns.
Incompetence.
Give them Nerf guns.
Let's fucking let's go. Let's do it. Let's just fucking. Some people get airsoft guns. Some people get mortars. Some people get bazookas. And let's just fucking wreck. Like let's see what happens.
I imagine being the fucking poor loser who gets assigned the water gun in that situation.
Yeah, the super soaker. Yep. I don't know, man.
Here you go,
good
soldier.
Luck.
Survive.
Yeah, man. You've only got one task now.
What the fuck?
Survive.
So, how many people? How many troops are stationed in countries that we're technically at war with, as opposed to in the U.S. capital?
Less
right now?
Than are going to be at the capital. That's been the talk of the town. There's like less people in Iraq than there are in the
those are National Guard. They're not like actual fucking soldiers. Their
is that the case?
Yeah, their deployment is like going to a KFC in fucking Ohio.
Oh, really? It's that bad? Yeah. Just like
they're very
bats.
Accustomed to not having any bullets or magazines. All of their deployments are unarmed.
Yeah, God, can you the economic groups of people who get brought into the military, and specifically the National Guard, probably had more access to bullets before they joined than they do right now.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm the rare exception.
This is bad, man. This is bad, and not in a real bad way. Just like a bad as in, I'm watching a movie and I know that the stormtroopers really don't actually, like the lasers aren't really lasers and no one's life is at threat. You know what I mean? It's just a weird movie. I'm not into it. What are you drinking there, Carr? What do you got in that cup?
I got a little wine.
Very nice. Give me a little of that. See, we don't do enough wine drinking on this show. And I think the downers that we've always said we've needed, you know, to match the uppers of crack is the wine.
Crack and wine.
I've been getting very wine drunk lately. And I don't, not consistently, but I'll choose one day a week. And it's been my 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. It'll be my Friday and Saturday where I'll just get really wine drunk. And I'll post until about 3:30 in the morning. It's great stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's super great. Times. Wine drunk is great. It's also great for game nights with the lads. We've been having a couple of those over here at the Crack House. We've sent out some invitations to the neighbors, but you know, so far most of them have not come back. But you know, the game nights are fantastic, and wine is just a great, you know, it's a warm, happy drunk that brings us a little bit, you know, brings the tone down a little bit from the usual frenzy crack.
And then when the Rufalin I puts in kicks in,
then it's a party.
That's when game night.
Then it's a party.
That's when game night becomes over.
That's when I open up the closet, I pull out the bag, and then we
when we all get in the bag. That's when we get in the bag.
Yeah, get in the bag.
Ooh, right, we all just look down at our drinks at the same time, like, ooh, Aaron, did you just...
You see the... Yeah, we see
Aaron's already ruffling around in the closet.
Oh, God. You know, you just reminded me that a couple of IRLs had recently informed me that these are IRLs who haven't gotten together for months because of a court... due to the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And they messaged me and they were like, hey, man, we're having an inauguration party. You want to come over? And I saw the message and my one eye twitched and a little bit of drool fell out of the opposite side of the mouth that the eye was twitching. So I knew I wasn't having a stroke, which was good. And I looked at the message and several things came to mind. The first thing that came to mind was you guys haven't met for months. And so you decided to, you know, your religious gathering, I understand, is the first time you all want to get back together and meet up. That's great. Second thing was... it happens at like noon, guys. What are you talking about? What inauguration party? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's
what,
interesting.
You're going to start this in the daytime? And I don't think any of them were aware of that. I mean, I haven't answered the message. I'm not going to answer the message.
Okay.
Well,
let that one fly.
It doesn't happen at party time, Carr.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like we all know it. I don't know what specific time the inauguration is going to happen at, but it's definitely not happening at 8:30
time. It's not like a 10:30 p.m. like send you into
even
kind of
7 p.m. Even 7 p.m. You know what I mean?
Well, Joe's
nothing
in
like
bed
that.
By the way. Joe's been asleep for hours. Joe, as soon as he got back from the golden corral at 4:30, he's off in his jammies.
They geared him up with enough amphetamines and testosterone to be able to carry on for the debates, and now he's sort of in low power mode for the remainder of his life.
Yeah, he's powering up until he ultimately powers down. Last time,
you should go and then be like, "Hey guys, I got this DVD. You guys want to watch it?" And then it's Triumph of the Will.
Oh, wow. What is this from? You know, early inauguration. One of the earlier ones.
Well, see, this is you're missing an opportunity for prime premium content, Bird. I feel like that could set up some sort of recording apparatus, record them illegally and without their permission, and then let's just fucking roll the dice.
Hold on. Let's take a look. New York State, can you record people without their express permission? Wiretapping is... it's a one-party consent. It makes it a crime. God damn it. All right. Well, I don't want to get zapped with that, but I'll tell you what. If I can convince them, hey, I just want to record our conversations because I think we're going to have some really good ones, then it's technically – then it's consent, right? All they need to consent to is the being recorded, not the purpose that the recording is going to be used for in post.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Yeah, why not?
Free and clear.
They're riding way too high. You know what I mean? Today I saw somebody – well, in fact, Aaron and I and Lee all saw somebody today who was talking about how Biden was crying, and so it's just nice to have a president with a soul. And then he was like,
Lord.
"We did it,
Biden
Bo."
Was crying.
Yeah, but the weirdest
about
part was that she was like, "We did it, Bo." You know, his dead son. The point being, it's getting there's a religious tone, and there has been a religious tone since Biden. And listen, there was a religious tone under Trump too. Cannot forget that. But it's kind of weird to see that what you would imagine to be the not religious side. Okay, so here's what's weird. Can yeah. I?
The antithesis of Trump.
Mm. Yeah, I have to put it this way. A lot of the Trump people are actually religious. Yeah. Like they have a religion with a several thousand year history. No matter how they choose to practice it, it's kind of they got a thing where they're like, "Yeah, I'm a Christian," and you go, "Okay, got it, understood." Mm-hmm. And then with the Democrats, yeah, a lot of them are Christians, but a good portion of them are not only not Christians but straight up anti-Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting to like I'm almost kind of like the hero worship that Trump had. I was nodding my head and I was like, yeah, I could see how you yeah, he's your new Christ. Sure, it's fucking crazy, but yeah, I get it. I almost get it. But then with the Democrats, it's like, wait, what religion is this?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Super weird. Yeah, you're worshiping a senile crying baby.
Yeah, I don't really and under what historical pretense, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. what like Democrats, especially atheists who don't really worship anything, you know what I mean? Or they shouldn't. So what's going on with all of the Biden supporters, the radical feminists and such? Very odd. Almost like a dark magic came through, you know?
Speaking of all of those people, I believe that they are firing the coal engine that is targeting extremist podcasts for deplatforming. Yep. Have we all seen this? It's pretty. Yeah. They're coming for us specifically. No, I don't think so. I think they're going after like the Joe Rogans and Tim Pools of the world. I think they're realizing that these guys have so much reach. I mean, so how many people tune into Rogan? Like 10, 20, 12 million CNN. Sometimes. And I know Rogan's not expressly, anti-authority or anything like
he'll
that.
He'll say what he thinks.
He'll say what he thinks. He's for self-improvement. He's for, you know, and being kind of self-reliant. And he has guests on that are definitely outside of lockstep with the program. I think that they're going after these guys and they're realizing that it's going to be a little bit more difficult, you know, than I think that they for too long turned a blind eye to alternative media.
They're going after Bannon. There's another one for you. They're going after Bannon.
Well, what does he do? I know Bannon, but like, does he really?
Dude,
what is his podcast? Should we get him
on? Yeah, we probably should. Now I'm forgetting the name of the podcast because you put me on the spot here. But Steve Bannon has a podcast, and I've listened to it many times. It's called The War Room. That's right. I thought for some reason it was called Fireside Chats. That's something else. Steve Bannon's War Room. I've listened to the show many, many times. See, the thing about Steve Bannon is, like, without a doubt, I have. Yeah, I got a $50 bill in front of me right now. Hear that? See that?
Oh, you're rolling it up.
There you go. Well,
roll that shit up.
No, I just literally just ripped my $50 bill. Great.
Oh, what the fuck?
It's okay. It's fiat anyway. It doesn't matter. It's valueless. Anyway, I would put this $50 on the table and ask any listener and pretty much anyone who hears this to find me a more intelligent political analyst who lives in America today than Steve Bannon.
Is that right?
Oh, I know without a doubt. The guy's a genius. The guy's no matter what you think of him personally, the guy's a political genius. He knows exactly what everyone is going to do, every move that is made, and he calls it every time.
Why he's unemployed with a podcast?
What about us? Wait a minute. Being unemployed with a podcast at this point is a virtuous thing.
Yeah, what a loser.
I know. That's what I was saying. He's like us. He's ascended.
Yeah, he's like
us.
He's one of the boys. Yes. He's ascended. Yes. Right. Good way to turn that around. Because we want him on the show, Carl.
Yeah.
So the point being, they're trying to silence him, which is...
Of course you want to silence him
because he knows your playbook perfectly. I don't know, but it's got to be good. He's Steve Bannon.
Yeah, for sure.
It's got to be a good reach.
You would think.
Got to be decent. Man, watch him go on Rogan.
What is his, like, I know, like, obviously I know of Steve Bannon, and I roughly know his politics, I guess, but, like, what's his, like, real deal?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like, populist
right? We would call that guy a populist. Yes.
Okay. 100%. Like, if I were to say, Steve Bannon, what do you think of the war in Iraq and George Bush? What would he say?
He would say both the war in Iraq and George Bush are damnable, awful things.
Okay.
No doubt. All right. He's not a neoconservative.
Okay, you know? Like, that's kind of what I was getting at.
He's not anti-war in any sense, but he's definitely not, like, foreign interventionist.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, but dude, I mean, I think that they're going to start. I think they're realizing. I mean, not to dwell on it, but Rogan having like 12 million. Jacob got me into Tim Pool, and I actually really like Tim Pool. I mean, obviously he's a little bit normy, but he's super honest. I get the feeling like he really tries his best to like only work with the things that he knows. I've been watching him. I watched him on Monday, and he had the New Jersey gym owner. You know who I'm talking about?
No. Mm-mm.
Ian something or whatever. You know that that gym that like they just basically refused to shut down? Attila's gym?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah. That's worth a listen. It was really interesting because... Ian Smith, yeah. And he looks like that dude from...
Jacked.
And he looks like the guitarist or bassist from like Anthrax or whatever. What was that guy's name?
Dude, this guy looks like if Nick Mullen took steroids. This is incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's pretty big, man. I mean, dude, I guess if you own a gym, you're gonna get.
Yeah,
big,
you better be big. Yeah. Yeah. If you own a gym or if you're in government, you gotta be big.
Yeah.
That's how it is for me. Gotta be a big guy.
Anyway, that dude, that really, really cool interview. I highly recommend anyone listen to that. It was interesting. Just interesting. It's just interesting to watch how factions of people start to react to very real things. Like this guy's gym got shut down. The cops harassed him, and he was probably kind of like I don't know about thin blue line, but I mean, you probably kind of can get the idea of what a jacked gym owner would be like politically prior to any of this. And it's
you mean a domestic terrorist?
Yes, right? Is what I'm driving at. But now I don't know if he would have been considered a domestic terrorist a year ago.
They always thought he was.
Maybe.
They always thought he was.
Maybe.
Oh boy. Well, there you go. I hope if there's a coup, you know, a little coup goes on.
Mini
very
coup?
Nice.
What should we call it if it's just like a little mini coup?
What would a mini coup look like to you?
What would we call it? What would we
I
call
think
it?
There's 75 million people at least that think a coup already happened.
Well, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
And what are they doing about it?
But it didn't, okay? And that's the line used by domestic terrorists. Now, if there was a coup, if there was a coup, first of all, I think we would call it a little coup.
That'd be a good rap name, too. Lil Coup.
Lil Coup?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump gets kicked off of Twitter. He comes back. He
comes back as a rapper.
I'm a rapper.
As a YouTube rapper.
Unrelated.
Little Cowp.
Little Cowp. I'm Little Cowp. It's Coup, Don. Coup. I'm Little... Why is it spelled that way, Steve?
Steve, he's always on the phone with Steve. Steve's his producer, his manager.
They probably haven't talked in months.
Oh, God. Yeah, what's their relationship looking like these days?
I can't be that good, otherwise he would have been a lot smarter than how he's been acting. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Steve Bannon doesn't like Trump
anymore.
Got unceremoniously let go.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, you have America's Alexander Dugan, or you have, I mean, for the people who don't know who that is, you have the smartest political analyst... political scientist, whatever you want to call him, in the country.
You're done, Steve.
And he wants to help you. And you tell him, you're done, because the war machine would prefer somebody who puts more pocket money into the pockets of big business and arms manufacturers. Great. You deserve this, bud. You just deserve this.
Mm. Yep.
Well, it doesn't stop there. I want to round this out on communications in general, because the FCC, I had a couple of people hit me up on Twitter and in Discord about this PDF. I'm not sure if you guys saw it, the PDF that the FCC issued warning about using ham radio for committing crimes. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
So the FCC, who is the governing body presiding over communications, wireless communications, et cetera, in this country, under which ham radio is classified, you know, that would be who would regulate it. Issued a PDF, and I confess I didn't read the whole thing, but I got the gist of it. Reminding
a long
people,
one?
What's that?
Like a long PDF? How big
no,
is this
I think
PDF?
I think it was a single pager. Basically reminding people that using ham radio for committing crimes is illegal. And
oh, of course.
It's just a weird thing. It's weird to have ham radio pop up on the radar at all, because prior to the last few years, where I think there has been this move into more, I will use the word, tactical uses of ham radio, or people waking up to the fact that there are tactical uses for ham radio and communications systems like this when shit hits the fan. There's been a major influence. My dad was telling me about this. He was like, man, I was, because my dad's a huge ham. It has been since he got licensed, you know, in the 50s, and like reads ham radio magazines and stuff like that. And he was like, man, this was like 2 years ago. He's like, man, there's like a major uptick in the number of ham radio operators recently. I was oh, that's weird. I have no idea why that is. Like, you know, it's a bunch of us like infiltrating, you know, coming in. Yeah. And I think the FCC is probably cluing in on that. And that's something to keep an eye on. That's pretty interesting.
I'll send a letter to him. Hey, what about a Telegram? Is that good? Can we use Telegram to commit crimes?
To commit crimes?
Just a new app that's good, maybe? Or old-fashioned telegram, one or the other. I wonder how that works.
Actual telegrams? Dude, that would be That'd so be badass, badass to bring right? back.
And.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I know what the first word that Aaron's sending over those godforsaken lines.
Well, yeah, the first letter, certainly.
And we're just like,
D. Fuck, I got it wrong.
That's not good.
So hold on, yeah, I know, so that I'm sure all of our listeners were like, oh, when you said that, like, it is kind of funny, like. So not only is committing a crime,
yes,
but using ham radio to commit the crime is probably a separate crime.
No, it's the same crime. And the FCC just
really?
Wanted
they don't
you
tack
to know.
On?
Oh, maybe they do. Oh. Who knows? But yeah.
That's what I'm saying is it's the most FCC exactly. shit
right.
ever to be like, actually,
I don't know.
We'll
I didn't even really
too.
Pay attention to that. The thing that raised the red flags of mine with me is that the FCC basically doesn't pay attention to ham radio by and large
really?
Know, at all. Not really, except for
well,
like every now
start.
And then there's... Well, they're going to start now. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was weird. It's just weird for ham radio to be on the radar at all. And I guess the last few years, obviously, you know, tell you why. But
I wonder if like the correlation of like a Democrat president getting elected and, you know, gun sales, the uptick you see in gun sales. I wonder if there's a correlation with ham radio usage too.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was many upticks and stuff like that during times of emergency. I know there was a big uptick because on 9/11, a lot of the first responders and stuff like that on the actual scene had to resort to ham radio because all of the emergency channels for the police and fire were so jammed. So a lot of it was being literally coordinated by hams that weren't even in the state, that they were just relaying messages because they had long enough distance and trying to help ease communication stuff. You know, and there was like a bunch of feel good articles that were written about it. I'm sure a lot of, you know, I became licensed very shortly after that, but it was unrelated. I was just always going to be, but you know, it saw a big uptick. I'm sure that they're like anything. I mean, people understand the utility, the value there. And when communications lines go down, you know, kind of makes you think about it. So, I don't know.
The fact that it would be not people on the left doing it is just funny. Because it's like, yeah, of course. I'm sure when Donald Trump got elected, there was no uptick in ham radio usage. You know what
Probably
I mean?
Probably not, yeah.
So, like, there's just no level of serious... Like, I would imagine if there's an uptick in buying guns and learning how to use ham radio, you'd go, oh, wow, they're... Not only are they, and this has actually been the axiom that we've been working with this whole time is, oh yeah, when the right is afraid, they do something about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like right and communists, they'll do something about it.
Yeah.
But this like very cowed left centrist, probably 60% of the country will not do a fucking
they'll
thing
just
about it.
Bitch
they'll
about
just
it,
complain
yeah.
on Twitter and it, like, you know, so. But yeah, I think you're probably right about that, Aaron. I would not be surprised if like all sorts of forms of alternative communications, self-defense means, things like that, all tick up when a Democrat comes into office, especially one who like 3% of the country is vocally very sure cheated to get in, and probably another tack on 15% on top of that is not sure that it was legitimate. That's enough, right?
Yeah,
to
oh,
be
for
like,
sure. Yeah.
We better prepare,
yeah.
you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, we analyze a lot of this stuff from our vantage point, which a lot of times looks a little bit bleak. But imagine from their vantage point where they say, well, we have 320 million citizens that we kind of have to corral here. We have a lot of them that think this was fake. We have a lot of them that have recently bought a lot of firearms, have ham radios and communication means outside of our control. We're managing possibly some internal turmoils between competing factions within our own system. That's, you know, I would not want to be the project manager on that.
No, me neither. Nope. So. Which is why we're not. We're the project manager.
Well, there's a number of reasons there's a number of reasons why we're not, but one of them is that we don't want
to. Well, if they paid me enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they paid me enough, I would try it, but you know, we'll see. Hey, thanks for setting up the sticky chart, by the way. There's another one that's kind of related to this.
Yeah.
The impeachment.
Yeah.
That's gearing up. And,
yeah, so what's the deal with that? Because I don't follow this stuff. I know that, I guess he got impeached. I don't even really know what the process, I don't even really know what impeachment is.
So an impeachment means they send you to the Senate.
Okay.
The Senate then decides whether or not they want to remove you.
Oh, okay.
An impeachment is nothing more than, because so few people have been impeached, it's at this point nothing more than oh, you've been impeached. You know, it doesn't mean anything, but because so few people, and really like all quite openly horrendous presidents have been impeached that I can think of, except for Nixon, who I think was impeached, but he wasn't. I don't know if he was.
Well, I think he resigned before he got impeached, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he got resigned before he got removed.
Okay.
So here's the part. You go from the House where they impeach you over to the Senate where they decide whether or not they're going to remove you. If the Senate removes you, and here's Nancy Pelosi's game, and she does, for some reason she won't state this out loud, or she didn't at least last week, but I think now the Democrats are caught up to what the purpose actually is, which is if you get removed from the Senate, you cannot hold, I'm going to definitely say, the office of president ever again.
Okay.
But I think you also can't hold public office again.
Now
on a state level, obviously that does not hold, obviously. So on a state level you probably still can. So but I'm talking out of my ass at this point. This is me just using my common sense, but I know for a fact he cannot become the president again, which I don't think at this point is his goal. I don't think there's any chance for that anyway, unless there's some weird esoteric signaling here where you could go, well, Joe Biden is going to so decapitate the right in this country that the one guy who they can rely on to come back and take revenge, Donald Trump, because he has a spine, we have to emasculate him and cut his balls off right here and now. Gotcha. So that he has no potential to do that. Now, that's a lot of storyboarding and fake stuff, because ultimately there's about a billion people who could take Trump's spot, including, everybody remember this name 4 years from now, Madison Cawthorn, I believe his name is.
No idea who that is.
That's going to be a big name in a few years. I'm calling it now. Me and my friend Hunter were talking about him. He convinced me of this. Wheelchair-bound, I think he was a veteran.
Did he surface on Twitter recently in some like really horrific...
Sure, he sure did.
Yeah. Is he like a right-wing populist?
Yes, he sure is.
And is he like competent?
Oh, yeah, he sure is. Definitely so. Oh, well. And he's... I think he's a veteran. I assume that's how he was wheelchair bound. I should have looked into that before I made the statement. But regardless, that's the guy. That's the next guy or one of people like that. There's no more neoconservative power in the country. It's just not there. I can't imagine that will come back unless there's a global threat, which, you know,
well, I mean, the Democrats are.
Yeah, the Democrats are basically neocons. Wait, so.
Yeah, that's right.
So back to, sorry to loop back, but can.
No, fine.
Could the Senate remove him tomorrow before the inauguration?
They can remove him after. It doesn't matter. He leaves office.
Isn't Joe Biden president tomorrow? Oh, wait. Hold on.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, they can still continue on with his removal from public office.
I didn't know that.
Now, the question...
Yeah, then he won't be able to pardon. Like, there'll be no chance of him getting a pardon. Like, if Trump were to get removed and Mike Pence would assume the presidency, Mike Pence could do what Ford did. Yeah. And
pardon Nixon,
Trump.
But that was never in the cards, I don't think. I think what Trump did, no matter how you feel about it, vast majority of people think what Trump did was totally inexcusable. So I didn't think that a pardon was coming. I don't think he's going to have criminal charges placed on him. I think they're going to impeach him. He'll never be able to hold public office again. I don't think they'll charge him.
I don't think they'll charge him either, because I
think they're going to go
really?
For it.
Yeah, I don't think they want him in the news anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. It's big.
Like you said, they want to decapitate.
Well, they want to politically decapitate him. So unless you're saying they want to remove him from free life, in which case that would be if you think the sixth was bad, you know, we'll see.
Hey, so
go ahead.
Joe Biden becomes president tomorrow, right? If this all goes off without a hitch, he becomes president tomorrow, right?
Yep, he does.
Okay,
for sure, without a doubt. I think there's preliminary processes which are already followed that ensure that he is the president now at this point.
Okay.
I saw that popping around on the website.
I guess my question was like, there is no next inauguration or something like that. Like, this is the final thing.
Right? No, this is it. Okay. Yeah, once he puts his hand on that Bible and he puts his other hand in the air and he takes the oath, that guy's the president for sure. Visibly.
Once he sniffs the Bible, he's in.
Man. Yeah. Once he hovers his hand slightly over the Bible as it starts to get warmer and warmer, the closer it gets, he's in. Yeah, yes, correct.
Good.
Oh,
very
boy.
Good.
Yeah. So that's that. impeachment. God, yeah. So stupid.
We'll see what.
So
that...
yeah, I do think we're gonna this time. I think we're gonna see a move to impeach, and he will be like his impeachment will be confirmed by the Senate. So I'm calling that. I'm calling Madison Cawthorn in a few years. I'm calling Joe Biden is actually a satanic entity, which wouldn't be a surprise. Most of them are. What else am I calling, Carr? Give me one more thing to call.
Well, I don't know any additional calls that you got, but...
Well, I'm ready to call.
I got some calls.
Aaron, what's one call? You get one call.
One call.
All right.
And you have a
ramped
list.
Ramped up Cold War with China or Russia.
Good call. Yep. China. Good call. I also think we're going to probably sever our ties with the Saudis. That's my call.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think... I definitely
think we're
going to
abandon Bretton Woods.
I think so. I think there's going
to... The petrodollar, you mean?
Yeah.
I think so. I think we're going to abandon the petrodollar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for sure that...
I don't know if that's going to happen in the next 4 years, though. I think maybe the seeds will be planted for that.
I could... Okay. I'm willing to go so far as to say that's going to be the move. Whether or not it gets accomplished, maybe not, because everything moves so fucking slowly. That's my last call, is that we are going to abandon as many relationships as possible with the Saudis at this point. So there you go. A lot of weird things are going to be coming about, a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you guys see, speaking of the Middle East, did you guys see Iran like mining Bitcoin like nobody's business?
No, what?
Yeah, apparently.
It's badass.
Yeah, it is. It is low-key pretty badass. So, you know, and all of the news reports that come from Iran, take it with a grain of salt. You know, it could be massive information war kind of stuff. But apparently...
When you say Iran, you mean the state?
Yeah.
That was a clumsily worded. You mean the state was operating the mining...
We pool, don't know. We don't really know. My suspicion is that yes, but also private actors. I think it's private actors. I think it's the state, and I think it's private actors who have the wink, wink, nod, nod from the state for a fee type thing. Like I think it's all of the above, and I don't think that there's any real way that we may know exactly what that percentage and how that breaks down to. But basically, there's a lot of if it were me venturing a guess, I think it's a lot of private. Entities who are in cahoots with the state privately but not publicly and getting
what, and now why well other than the fact that Bitcoin is just a good idea to be mining
because they're under heavy sanctions from a lot of people around the world. They have cheap energy both because of their proximity to oil but also what's happening is private entities are, you know, it's essentially economically a socialist country, so there's cheap energy and it's fixed rate. So people are coming in and exploiting that by mining Bitcoin for a very, very cheap energy fee, and that's really what your big variable is in Bitcoin mining is once you have the equipment, it's just really just cost of energy. So but what's happened is that so many people have done this that they've put such a tremendous burden on the energy grid that the power plants apparently, and I don't know exactly how this works, but apparently the power plants are scrambling to keep up and burning lower and lower grade oil. It's actually like polluting Tehran. Like there's like all these pictures of smog and shit like that. And apparently a lot of it is because people are mining Bitcoin. And I really think that is a microcosm of the macrocosm, that you're going to see a lot of this type of thing. People keep, you know, always say, well, what if the government bans Bitcoin? I actually think it's going to be the opposite. I think it's going to be
Bitcoin. The government will be like, help us,
scrambling to get it. And they may outlaw it for their citizens or try to steal it from their citizens, probably more likely. I think that's a much more likely.
I think they give like a tax rebate if you pay your taxes.
Yeah, stuff like that. Anything. Yeah. No, I'm serious for sure. Yeah. I think I bet they would offer huge. Absolutely.
Now's the time for us 100%. To get those government jobs, baby.
Yeah. So on, yeah, but interesting to keep up with because it has seemed like through the last 10 years that what happens in socialist countries with Bitcoin tends to then happen other places. It'll be really interesting to watch what exactly happens there. But I don't know.
This is all, you know, what I noticed is I had you put the bulletin board together today, and I'm noticing these are all topics from your program, basically, is stuff you'd cover on your program, which I wanted to bring something up to you, Carr. Mm-hmm. The 3 episodes in 1 day thing,
big
you
moose.
Can't ever do that again. Mm. You can't do that again.
Well,
you can't moose us that way.
I've already, the moosing has been done. The moosing is complete. And
I'm willing to take a one session of moosing.
A single moose?
a single set of mice, whatever you call them, but I'm not, you do that again and I'm going to have to quit the show or something. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't, you doing that and you being the talk of the town on the website, I was, you know, clawing at my face.
Aaron, you feeling a little bit of heat after I put those big moose up on the board? You feeling a little heat for your
friend? I know that there is, that there's going to be zero comparison because like it literally took me 2.5 hours to record like 15 minutes of content.
It's hard, isn't it? It's really fucking difficult, isn't it?
It sucks.
Dude, are bad.
I'll take my day off and I'll just fucking nose to the grind and like I'd say like 3 sentences and then spend like 20 minutes editing.
And there's like 19 there's 19 N-bombs in there that you got to scrub out.
Dude, yeah. I didn't want to step on you, Aaron, when you were doing that, when you planned, because that was the first thing I was like, dude, solos are hard. That's what I was trying to say. It's like, you need guests solo. Because I've been doing, with Pete and with Bullshito, they've basically let me do solo episodes on their show, and they're just kind of there to go, oh, yeah, and what about the, you know, just ask basic questions. And I'll just, like, read out. And, like, I know how long it takes me to do 1 hour on, I don't know who comes to mind, The Last Philosopher that I did on Pete's show. And it takes days. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it takes days of research and putting the shit together to do it. I was like, man, if you can pull this off, maybe you should be the pilot of this show, too.
I know what I need to do. And it's like, I need to sit down for like half an hour every day and just get like chunks of 5 or 10 minutes.
You know what must be done?
I do. I know what is to be done.
You can definitely, I got some suggestions for you off air, but you can definitely try that. I think that's going to be better for you than trying to do it in 1 or 2 days, for sure.
A lot of it had to do with, like, I needed to put Linux on my Chromebook and then learn how to do Audacity. And, like, so that ate up a bunch of my time.
Oh, well, thank you for learning how to do Audacity. I appreciate that. That's very
kind. I'm a baby at it.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I was a baby at it for 1.5 years, and all the listeners can tell you that when they fucking go back to the times when my voice sounded like this. And Carl was in the background, and he sounded like this.
Yeah, we did have some audio issues early on, dude, but a lot of that was hardware stuff on my end, you know.
Well, me too, with the gain. Do you remember our struggles with gain?
I was in
one
episode,
you'd be screaming, and one episode I'd be...
So brutal, man.
Really
so
bad, yeah. Very glad. And it took us about 90 episodes to figure out.
Yeah, around there. Yeah, we're just
game
really,
module.
We're really just rounding second base on this podcast, honestly.
Dude, I was working. So when Derek and I did the episode from last week, you know, he's a really good sound engineer, especially in comparison to me. And dude, he did the sound engineering. I did the editing. My God, what a nightmare. And like, he had to spend hours doing the sound editing, which is why I go, and this is why I don't sound edit. There's no way I'm not capable of this. And as good as, and then he gave me that product and it sounded fucking spectacular. It sounded way better than anything we've ever put out. And then I edited it and I sent it back to him and I sent the wrong file to him. And it took 1.5 hours to upload. And he woke up in the morning, he was like, dude, you sent me the wrong file. And he was like, I had to recreate the whole episode using the files that I had for the sound design in the first place, and it took him 9 hours more probably to do it. Dude, this is what free podcasting requires. It's really out of control, dude. Not that I'm complaining, I love doing it, but it's like sometimes I kind of wish we could do an episode for the listeners who don't have podcasts, which is just a funny statement because everybody really does these days, but explain to them, like, all right, so this is how it's gonna go. You're going to prep for 1 hour, you're going to record for 1.5 hours, you're going to edit for 2 hours, not including sound design, which could take another 2 hours or 3 hours, and just like try and explain that in a way that doesn't make us sound like pitiful or pitifying ourselves, because it's really just funny.
Demanding how they understand how important we are.
Yeah, no, not like that, more like, geez, like I just, the reaction I want to provoke is, Jesus, just that, that's it, just like, wow. Because I feel like some people think we come on here and we just talk and then the episode uploads, which is how some shows do it, and God bless them. But anyway, I think that would be a good way to... Maybe we'll do that for a Patreon bonus or some shit. I don't know, right? Let's do something like that. Where we'll record a 7-hour episode of me screaming.
Fuck!
Oh, no! The WAF won't upload! Shit like that. You can't use a WAV and an MP3 on the same Audacity file at the same time, and I'm just screaming about it and hitting the wall. I think it would be good listening. I don't know.
Damning the vortex all the while.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking I was gonna announce that we should be rolling out a Patreon here shortly, so maybe we can do a little bit of that premium content.
Yeah,
we actually
get
have
that
it.
Podcast money.
Oh, yeah, we actually have it. I have registered us, and we get a separate RSS feed.
Really?
That. Yeah, that's how they do it. So,
thing I'm putting on there.
Oh my god, boy. You're not going to get the keys to that platform.
Yeah, you're not getting the keys to that one.
Bird, what were you asking?
That's pretty cool. So we get like a separate. Well, I was going to actually take us into a little project that I'd been working on. But
take
before
us
I do that, so we get a separate RSS feed, meaning like a separate podcast feed where we can upload things to that don't show up on the main one.
Yes.
Is that what?
Yep.
We could have a lot of fun with that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like toaster, drop a toaster in the bathtub while I'm sitting in it, see what happens.
Just
stuff
fucking
like
off
that.
Ourselves while we
yeah.
Go out big. Go out big on
I don't
the Patreon.
Think that would kill me. I don't know. I'm built different, dude. I'm very, what is it when, you know, like you don't conduct electricity? I feel like I
You're
am
an insulator.
That. Like I don't conduct.
Insulated?
Yeah, I'm an insulated system. Anyway.
I kind of don't feel that would be the case, but regardless, we can address that later.
I'm built different, Carr.
So. Okay. What else were you going to announce here?
I've been working on something. I'm going to have to throw this up. Let's see. There we go. All right, it's up. Now, so TikTok. You familiar with this? The Chinese disinformation and social conditioning platform TikTok?
Yes.
Okay, so TikTok recently. So here, something that I've noticed that's quite interesting is on TikTok, there's like little communities that pop up.
Okay.
Kind of in the way that you would refer to something like Black Twitter or Libertarian Twitter, or like there's just kind of groups that congregate and they
yeah.
all do the same kind of humor or
yes.
they have the same, you know what I mean? So TikTok has this as well. And you get your witch talks, as we've spoken about
before.
Oh,
witch talk, yes, of
And
course.
You get your like, you know, like underage kids shaking their asses for older men TikTok. Of course, there's
mm-hmm.
that too.
Mm-hmm.
Why
mm-hmm.
would we ever ban that product? Anyway, yeah. Then you have a new development.
Okay.
And it's called Shanty Talk.
Yes. Yes.
Have
I
you
was
seen
wondering
this?
I saw the outcroppings of it. I saw as it bubbled into Twitter, but I didn't know where it came from. I had no idea that it came from TikTok.
Yeah, so Shanty Talk and I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners who saw a particular video about sea shanties from this wide-eyed progressive guy who was screaming about how shanties weren't invented until the 1800s. Well, that's obviously not true, and I wanted to prove him wrong, and I wanted to do something a little artistic for you gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
So I...
Wait, artistic or autistic?
Probably a little bit.
Let's call it schizo-artistic.
Column A and column B.
Schizo... Yeah, a little bit of both. Gentlemen, it's not a long clip, but I want to present you and the listeners with this hard-worked piece of art.
I mean,
would you care if I threw in a dip real quick?
Just packed
a fat lip.
Yeah, go ahead. Throw that in.
All right, cool.
Throw that in there. And enjoy this shanty talk.
Boys, all hands on the deck. All hands on the deck. I've got a fever. And the only way to stop that fever is more glue.
There. Once was a podcast full of glue. The perks were nice, had a studio too. The union came, blew up the show. Oh, flow, my silly boys, flow. Soon may tremendous Lou come to bring us crack and claw and guns. One day when the timeline's done, we'll take our leave and go. We'd not been 2 weeks from friends when down on us the crack descends. Car Camp it called all hands and swore he'd snort that line on the show. Soon may tremendous Lou come to bring us crack and claw and guns. One day when the timeline's done, we'll take our leave and go. Before the show had hit the air, the moose came in with an angry glare. The insults flew one upping each other when he let out a
hello. Soon may tremendous Lou come to bring us crack and claw and guns. One day when the timeline's done, we'll take our leave and go.
So that's my submission to the Shanty Talk universe. I hope you guys enjoyed that one.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you guys like, hope the listeners like that one.
Oh man, I'm reeling. I'm thrown. I'm physically thrown.
Are you?
Yeah.
It took me 30 minutes to make that, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody should go out and make their own shanty talk.
That makes me want to make my own.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. So now we have an official shanty talk for the show. You can throw that up on the Patreon.
Hell yeah.
Anything. We'll do it all.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So shanty talks. The point being, I have to wax poetically about the shanty talk here, because I learned a few things when I did it. And I did it alone, as you could tell. Those were all my voices. But I found, truly, it was a beautiful bonding experience with myself. It was a great time. It was a real display of a very comfortable and yet expressive masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Very artistic. Very just a great thing that I recommend you go out and do with your friends. Make your own friend group shanty talk is what I'm trying to tell you. And I think that. Is more of an essence of what this show is than probably most things.
I couldn't agree more. That's incredible. Yeah.
So, yeah. I was going to have us make a shanty talk, but I didn't have the time. And the idea of having to sync up everybody's part was just sounded like a real nightmare. Maybe we can do it together when we are together. And I think that would be fantastic, too. But yeah, I hope everybody enjoys my little shanty talks.
Or maybe we can each do a verse. Maybe I'll take maybe I'll get that underlying music from you, and I'll try and throw something down.
That would be great. Yeah. That would be very good. Maybe That'd be we can cool. put that together. Aaron, your beautiful
Send
singing
it over.
Voice. Oh yeah. Wow. Oh, here we go. All right. So there's your first shanty talk. Maybe we'll come out with another shanty talk.
Shanty talk all 2. That stuff. 9/12.
Shanty talk 2. Oh no.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it sure is, but it's good.
But it's
a
us.
Good thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't Jesus. Know. We got some stuff still up on the sticky board unless we want
to. I also emailed you something, Carr, and I think I don't know if I'm allowed to get up on a soapbox here, but
sure, get up on a soapbox.
It seems like you had my approval for it. So why don't you do me a favor, because you know enough about the guy and you've been taking some really great lines against him. Give me your feelings on Justin Amash and his behavior as of recently. Because this is a vaguely libertarian podcast, as we've discussed many times before. And I just want to get your thoughts, if you know what I mean, on the guy and his behavior recently.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a political animal, and it pisses me off, unreasonably so. I shouldn't be pissed off, because he just is a political animal. But, I mean, he's clearly just playing the political game to play the political game, and I'm not even really sure that he understands what libertarianism is at all, like from any sort of first principles mm-hmm. standpoint. I think he just sees it as another political vehicle to achieve his goals, whatever they may be. And so I have been beating my head against the wall, responding to him for no real reason, because it's not going to do anything. Also, I'm locked, so he can't even really see it. It just irritates me when I see people, like every now and then I'll see people not in group, but like, you know, not out group either, kind of fanboying Amash. And that needs to, my opinion is that needs to stop, because that guy
that
is a world class F-A-G-G-O-T.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say grifter. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, well, he definitely is a grifter. I don't know if he's world class at that, though. So this got me thinking. Aaron, I didn't send this to you because I don't know. I don't know why I didn't send it to you, actually. I probably should have.
Because you hate me.
Yeah, that's probably part of the reason why. Because you would have responded, N, probably as part of it. But I had... But I had Carr kind of read this through to make sure that it was somewhat a cohesive statement. And I just want to hop up on this box.
Yeah, I
here.
Think this is. I really enjoyed reading this, and so I'm looking forward to
Thanks.
It. Definitely take the.
So I need about. I think I probably need about 5 to 10 minutes. I'm not sure, but anyway. So before I start, I just want to say this. I joined the Libertarian Party in 2019 at the same time everyone else was joining, because I had thought that there was potential for change, and I actually thought that the party could be taken over. So I've done since then my own calculations on it, and no matter what you think about the first part, my conclusion is that I am of zero use to a political party, especially to the Libertarian Party, which showed itself to have zero use to me. So I left the party. And I have to get that out of the way before I make the statement, because there's an annoying line, and it would never be anybody who I want to address in this, but rather the people who I'm addressing against who would use the line. If you aren't a party member, stay out of party member business. You know, you've heard this before, sure. Of course, it's stupid, and everyone with half a brain knows that. and the people who use that line, we don't like them anyway. So you can call it a statement that I'm about to make or a warning. I wouldn't call it either of those things. Maybe we'll call it a tip. What do I know? Anyway, the reason why I feel the need to state an observation that I've made is because there's dozens of people who I know who are both in the Mises Caucus, members of the Mises Caucus, and active members in the larger Libertarian Party. And I love those folks. And many of them are listeners, and some of them have even been on the show. So before I begin, I want to read out a statement of purpose. This is the official statement of purpose from the Mises Caucus platform. Our purpose is to promote economic literacy within the Libertarian Party as taught by the Austrian School of Economics, to stress the importance of sound economics as critical to the Libertarian Party message, and to advocate applying the science of human action, praxeology, in Libertarian Party efforts to counter the statism of both Democrats and Republicans. We promote opposition to war, advocacy of decentralization and privatization both politically and monetarily as the highest priority issues of all libertarians. As a community and work culture, our emphasis is on coalition building, working together on things in which we agree in order to achieve political objectives in the real world, and expose non-libertarians to the superiority of governance by the market instead of the state. So that's their statement of purpose. Great statement of purpose. If you're going to have a political platform, I mean, that is probably the closest thing that would align to it for what I believe. So that out of the way, keeping that in mind, this is what I want to say. Justin Amash, who we were just talking about, whose intentions I do not claim to know, has taken a very specific set of lines as of late. He tweeted, "Read Hayek." On the same day, he tweeted, "I hereby reclaim the word liberal for classical liberalism. This serves as an official notice." Finally, he tweeted, "Libertarianism is about protecting rights, not opposing government. Government must be assessed relative to scale. We favor limited, narrowly focused government at large scales, e.g. federal, while often preferring more active government at small scales, e.g. local family." That was the one that kind of kicked this off. Carr, you responded to that one, and I believe I responded something like, if anybody falls for this, they deserve it. Actually, under that one, I responded something like, that's not what libertarians mean when they speak about government, you know it. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't gotten caught up in the specifics like I just did, you'll probably hear a particular direction of his tone. Libertarianism is this or that. Let me give you another tweet. "The Libertarian Party is forward-looking, open to new ideas and change. We support a simple framework, equality before the law, decentralized power, freedom from arbitrary coercion, and within that framework, libertarians hold a variety of positions. We also respect other people's beliefs." Maybe let me give you one more tweet. "I'm committed to making the Libertarian Party a place for people of all backgrounds with a diversity of views, commonly dedicated to fundamental American principles like individual liberty, the rule of law, and dividing powers. Help reshape politics by joining us at LP National." So that's all well and good. It's inclusive, right? That's good. It's respecting other people's beliefs. It's almost always a good thing to do that for the sake of progress. A simple framework of equality before the law, decentralized power, freedom from arbitrary coercion. Sure, that one holds me up, but none of the specifics are relevant to what I would like to get across. It should be becoming more obvious what Justin is doing here. If you still aren't sure, Justin kindly has laid it out for us. Let me give you one more tweet. "The GOP isn't getting better anytime soon. If you're a Republican who's had enough, join me in the Libertarian Party. Reach out to me. I'm very happy to answer questions about making the switch. We're readying to make a big impact over the next few years." It's interesting. Highly cavalier. And Justin could be the Libertarian Atlas, right? He's very willing to hold the whole party on his shoulders, but I dug into the comments of that particular tweet. Brad Palumbo asks, "This is very interesting. Do you think the Libertarian Party will become a big tent party?" Amash responds, "Yes. Political parties exist to organize like-minded people to win elections. Winning requires a big tent." So that was the one that was very interesting to me. And let's consider, for the sake of this statement, let's consider a very reasonable scenario. The GOP has no future and really isn't getting better anytime soon. So Max exodus from the party occurs, actualizing what Palumbo's question is into reality. The Libertarian Party becomes a big tent party. Let's say it's the second largest party. I mean, it would have to be in this scenario. The Libertarian Party is already a tent party, as evidenced by all the caucuses, very diverse. But now it's become a big old tent. So where are we now? Mises caucusers, where are we now? We all know, or at least we should begin to acknowledge, that just because the name Republican switches to Libertarian doesn't mean anything within the Mises Caucus or within the statement that the Mises Caucus makes. It would be easier for the term libertarian to transfer than it would for the people themselves to transfer. It isn't hard to imagine within our scenario that the vast majority of Republicans leaving the GOP are not familiar with or have no interest in or might even actively oppose the libertarianism of Mises, Rothbard, Hoppe, and the like. So what do we have? Well, we probably have a mix of two groups, hardliner conservatives who are looking to win elections and free-floating individuals looking to be part of a winning team. The second group is already encompassed within the Mises Caucus's platform, which is clearly makes a statement that the goal is educational, not political. It's that first group that I want to target and give a thought about. So calling this dialectical would probably be of too much significance, but the pattern seems sure enough to me. Politically savvy Republicans flood into the newly big-tentified Libertarian Party and promptly take it over with the intention of winning politically. The new flood of free-floating individuals, most of whom have come over from the GOP, are already likely comfortable enough to support the leaders they came over with. And libertarian principle lays dead on the sidewalk, foaming at the mouth. We've already seen what politically savvy individuals were doing in the LP before the necessitation of the Mises Caucus. And we see what they continue to do as they besmirch incoming and sophomore Misesians, some of whom, including myself, were made to be so intentionally disillusioned, just as they desired, at the lack of competence and organization in the lower party hierarchy that we left. Now we throw into this a situation where a new camper with a new shiny tent comes in, and a bunch of fellow campgoers whose main goal is beating the Democratic Party show up. They'll easily crush the beltways. And even more easily, they'll crush the principled Misesians who are utterly unprepared to play the game of politics. And on the Democratic Party, just as a side note, this is a party that has a much longer and more integrated relationship with socialism than the Republican Party does to libertarian principles. The only thing that actually promises to make the Libertarian Party a truly big tent party will be as a reaction to the growing socialist movement within the Democratic Party. That in combination with the collapse of the Republican Party. So that returns us to the same conundrum that the Republican Party currently faces. In the wake of the neoconservatives' orders' failed military escapades, disastrous international trade policies, and other blunders, the neoconservative ruling class within the Republican Party began to collapse. Now the party is feeble and reactionary to a clearly hegemonic democratic neoliberal party, soon to be full of democratic socialists. The Democratic Party remains hegemonic because it follows its own narrative, and the Republican Party's Machiavellian ideologues, some neoconservatives and some not, who are dead set on accomplishing their political goals, flee to the new, cool, marketable Libertarian Party, accompanied by reactionary elements which, by familiarity, they can corral underneath a new banner without any sense of principles or ideas having changed at all. Such a scenario presents brilliant opportunities, but it has to be absolutely clear that Justin Amash, and whatever Justin Amash stands for, is not the man or the idea that takes advantage of these opportunities. In reality, I consider Justin to be a stooge for the incoming Machiavellian ideologues, or at least a lukewarm combatant with a poor sense of marketing. The Mises Caucus at this point is faced with an existential threat, the total loss of relevance, or the need to stand firm and grow without changing its essential character as the entryists pour in. New caucuses could be created by the Machiavellian ideologues who come in, which could totally upend the Mises Caucus, destroy all their hard work, which Michael Heiss, David Hines, Joshua Smith, and all the officers and organizers have worked so hard to achieve. And when the cutthroat politics get an injection from conservatarian political geniuses, is that caucus going to be prepared to carry out its educational mission? Or at some point, does it need to evolve in its essence to become an active political party willing to debase, besmirch, and outmaneuver the Machiavellian self-servers and the GOP big thinkers that are already gearing up their vicious tactics? So don't get me wrong. I am not doomsaying. I'm not bringing down the awesome folks who run the Mises Caucus or the vast majority of Mises caucusers and uncommitted libertarians who just want to participate in a very cool tradition, very firm principles, and a party that might actually do something in a few years. This is a dive into the virtual. The potentials that the Mises Caucus could be facing in a big tent situation are enormous and far out-threaten its own relevance in comparison to what current clout capital the Mises Caucus actually has in transforming vast hordes of exodizing GOP dissatisfactionaries. I hope that the party leaders and organizers are well aware of this and that they slam down an iron fist on their lower counterparts to work harder, much harder than what I experienced when I attempted to extend my assistance to the party in general. I hope that the Mises Caucus members who I know and love are aware of this, and that they consider themselves like the party's lay brothers and lay sisters. The caucus leaders are going to be relying on you and should be directly communicating to you in the event that lower level organizers fail to do their jobs. I am not certain that education can even be the primary goal for the Mises Caucus in a situation where we're considering something like this. But it's not my job, and certainly not within my realm of competence to suggest what the new job should be for them. If I was in the Mises Caucus, I would be throwing love letters and chocolates at brilliant political savvy guys like Brian Nichols and Phil from Punk Rock Libertarians. Get them to enter in a more official capacity into the middle and upper levels of the party, just as was figuratively done to Dave Smith, Tom Woods, and others. Voracious, educated, cutthroat winners are what are going to be needed. Not more theorists, not more pamphlet makers. Every single member of the Mises Caucus from the top down needs to become absolutely ravenous and zealous about the political game, as they already are about the theory and the caucus planks. I know that they're capable of this. I've met a good number of them, and they're more than capable of self-organizing the caucus into a more effective machine. They've done it before. We like to take potshots at the Libertarian Party on this show because, in some sense, all of us are dissatisfied with it. Some of us have joined the party and left, and others have never joined and never will. But the Mises Caucus is the absolute best chance for people who share similar opinions to me to take control, for the most widely stretched political organization that is realistically available to them. So the purpose of the statement that I'm making is, please be aware of this. I am not a member of the party, but I took the time to write the words to do this, and I really hope that it says something to some people who I know are ready and willing to make a bigger impact in a zealous way. So what I'm asking, or at least what I'm saying, and I hope people are heeding, is you are not ready for a big tent situation. But Justin Amash is. Justin Amash wants to win. Justin Amash doesn't care about libertarian principles. He certainly doesn't care about the Mises Caucus planks. And those are the only people in the Libertarian Party who I really back and care about. Those are the people who I think about. Those are the people who follow me, who I follow them, who I correspond with, ask them questions about the party. They come back and give me great answers. We've had many of them on the show. And I like a lot of the larger libertarian people who are not committed to the Mises Caucus. But they're never, ever going to do. They're uncommitted. What are they going to do? So to anybody listening who's a member of the Mises Caucus, start pressuring the people above you to get to work. Because this is a likely scenario, in my opinion. Now, again, it's just a dip into the virtual. It doesn't have to happen. And the likelihood doesn't have to play out the way that I'm making it sound. But I can absolutely assure you that in the same way the Mises Caucus wouldn't be ready for a bunch of things that were to happen to the party. I don't know, let's just say some rich benefactors take over. They're not really ready. They certainly are not ready for a mass exodus of basically reactionary Republicans. You're not going to convince them with Austrian economics. You're going to convince them by winning the political game. And you can use your Austrian economics in that fashion. But as I read before, that statement of purpose that they have needs to be updated at some point in a big tent situation. And it has to emphasize winning politically. And the geniuses who are already in the Mises Caucus, I named a couple of them, they need more geniuses with them to help figure this out. Because I love a lot of the people in the party. I love a lot of their ideas, and I hope they succeed. So, ladies and gentlemen of the Mises Caucus, gear up, because if this is a scenario that Justin Amash is pushing for, that he believes is likely, I don't think you guys are ready for it yet. And that is not me denigrating you. It is simply who could be in a situation where the original goal was to take control of the platform as a way to educate people. Well, that is not what they're trying to do. They're trying to win politically.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, man. I think that's always been a little bit, and I'm outside of the Libertarian Party, and I try not to comment on it a whole lot because of, you know, the statement that you read in the beginning. Not just because I hear it from other people, but I kind of believe it myself to some degree, at least for me. Like, I don't really have any business commenting on the Libertarian Party, not just because I'm not in the Libertarian Party, but also because I'm a world-renowned idiot when it comes to politics. So my advice would be largely useless, but it does feel as though I don't think it's a stretch to say the Libertarian Party or in the past has basically been a launching ground for the dregs of big party politicians who are looking for a fresh start or looking for a way to move things around to get to posture for a better position. And that clearly looks like what Amash is doing. I don't think Amash gives one damn about libertarianism. I don't think he gives one damn about the Libertarian Party. I think he gives a damn about himself and furthering his political goals. And I don't think he's any better than just about anybody in the Republican or Democrat Party. He just has a libertarian label that gives some people on our side of the spectrum a little bit of a warm feeling. But that guy is a fucking snake in the grass.
Well, and I would even go so far as to say it doesn't matter what his intention is, because he's laying out for you his plan.
Sure.
which is right. to make it a Big Ten party. Yeah. And that to me is, you know, so yes, a couple guys can storm the Capitol building and nothing in the country fundamentally changes. But if the military takes over Congress, there's a big change. You're yep. talking about a military takes over Congress type situation.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's mm-hmm. a mass exodus of GOP members, you know,
yep.
this is an existential threat for literally the only people in politics who I really go, man, I hope you guys win.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope they do, because politics will always exist and this political system will exist for a long, long time. And so, man, as long as it's there and there are people who, you know, wouldn't want to put me up against the wall and shoot me because I didn't pay the right number in taxes, I'd like them to succeed.
Yep.
And guys like that, not even just singling out Amash, because honestly, again, Amash, I think he's a stooge. And the problem with that is precisely that he's going to remain a stooge
yeah.
when he gets what he wants and gets a big tent.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people who are going to come into that big tent. Jesus, I think of Bill Buckley, right? Like, imagine a Bill Buckley type guy comes in. A political genius with a big media platform comes into the Libertarian Party. He's going to out-educate. And I don't mean that literally. He is simply going to make everybody go his way, make everybody do what he wants or what she wants. And Justin Amash is going to nod his head and go, well, at least we're winning, just like they did with Gary Johnson.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt. I mean, it's
my warning to yep. you all.
I think that was well said. I think it was said with all the, you know, predications needed from a largely apolitical podcast, I'll say, in a weird way. I guess we're not really hardcore associated with the Libertarian Party overall. I'm not at all. Aaron's not at all.
We had a couple of the members on our show, though. You know?
Yep. Like, oh, for sure.
I named Phil and Brian yep. Nichols.
Oh, yeah.
And Joshua Smith.
Sure.
So we've got some big names.
We've got big crossover with the Meacocks. Robbie the Fire Bernstein. There's a bunch of Meacocks. I mean, obviously, if you want
him to do really well.
Yeah, sure. But, yeah. So, anyway, I don't know. I don't, it's, I think you said it well. And I think with all the, you know, the warnings and such that you needed beforehand. I don't know. That seems like as good a place to end this thing as anything. Aaron, you got anything?
Yeah. My opinion on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the type of, like, opportunism that you would see, you know, in any, like, pre-revolution country. This is what would happen if, you know, the... Let's call libertarians a class. Let's call us, like, as anarchists, as radicals, a class.
Okay.
This is, like, political opportunists on behest of, you know, the ruling class coming in and just stifling out any penchant for radicalism before it becomes,
yep.
you know, more than a cinder.
Fleeing from the latest party they killed. You know, everybody goes yep. like, all the Californians moving to Texas because they killed their own state.
He's not going
to
bring with him anybody that has any inclination to do what needs to be done.
No, I don't think so. I don't at
He's
all.
Going to, it's going to just douse the flames of radicalism that the Libertarian Party desperately needs to appeal to, you know, to have a big tent of people that want to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen if Justin Amash comes in and brings, mm-hmm. you know, 5 or 10,000 fucking normie Republicans with them.
Yep. It's just going to become more of a normie Republican party, which is bad for the Mises Caucus. It's just bad.
I would rather see a bunch of fucking outright Leninists come
we
in.
We know.
Well, you might be able to. Yeah. First of all, we know. Second of all, they might actually buy the praxeology.
Yeah. Yeah. At least the scientific approach.
Sure. All right, give me that crack pipe. Let's get out of here.
I got a couple things I want to plug while you're smoking
yes.
that crack. The website is somewhat live right now, and hopefully will be fully live by the time this releases. So go see us at timelineearth.org. We have our shows will be up there. Hopefully we'll be adding a merchandise store fairly soon. Go check out my solo episodes with Texas Joe and then another one with Ragnar. They have conferences in Texas coming up. Unfortunately, both of those people are holding their conferences on the same weekend through a wild coincidence. But I'm going to try to make an appearance at both. So if you're there, get in touch with me and maybe we can grab a beer. Let's see. At Liberty Medic Man made me a board, a hardwood board For a whiskey glass and Maker's Mark bottle to rest on.
Damn, are you getting gifts?
Getting gifts, my friend. Getting gifts.
Oh, my God. He, I can't even get the TLE ladies to send me love letters, and you're getting physical products.
You'll get love letters. You know, if not, I'll get Aaron to write and Girlie to write.
Well, after what I just read, I might get some hate mail.
Yeah, well, you might get that, too. But, hey, that's just the... You know, as long as the feelings are intense, you can convert.
That's how you know. That's how you know you're doing all right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah. So go at Liberty Medic Man. Go get yourself a board. He takes Bitcoin and he'll ship it right to you. Patreon's rolling out. I don't know. We got anything else? That's all I got.
No, I think that's it.
I'll be dropping my first solo episode. Yes.
Yes.
On Friday.
Yeah, we should. Yep. Yep. So Bird and I are already over the hump. We've got our solo episodes out. Aaron's dropping this Friday, which I'm really excited for. And then the following Friday. I know what else we need to talk about. The following Friday is Paz's first episode, the Scarlet Threat Society, which I'm really pumped about as well. But then is it this month or next month that we have Fifth Friday?
No, we don't have until April, my dude.
Oh, okay.
April.
Okay.
We're lucky. We are lucky that April 30th is the fifth Friday. So, yeah, why don't you, because we have our we should get a joint email up, suggestions and comments or something like that, and have them send that over to there. We're kind of sure what we want to do for Fifth Fridays, which is whenever there's a fifth Friday of the month. Obviously, if we do Friday episodes and we only do four Friday episodes a month, well, there's a fifth Friday and a discrepancy there. What should we do, listeners? Carr, what do you think? Can they contact us?
Yeah,
send
me an email at carr at timelineearth.org. Or Bird, you got to set your email up, Bird,
sure,
at timelineearth.
Yeah.
We're all Bird, Aaron, Carr, Paz at timelineearth.org. Send us an email. Let us know what you want to see on Fifth Friday. We've got some ideas, but we'd always like some listener input on what we would like to see. I mean, we want to get pretty goofy with it. It's just a completely free day. So,
one of the things that I definitely want to do is have other podcasters take over the show. But
yes.
I mean, like, you've already shattered the barrier to the idea that only one episode can be released on a Friday. So who knows? Maybe Fridays will be a dump day. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. So
who knows?
Email us. I think that's all we got, fellas. So until next week, keep your hands on the wheel.
Squaw!